So we're looking at Psalm 119 from verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in your way. Establish your word unto your servant, who is devoted to your fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after your precepts. Quicken me in your righteousness. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Thank bless you. It to us, we pray, and speak to us, Lord, we pray.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And you know that as we read through this psalm, we're working through the Hebrew alphabet. And each of these eight verses tonight begins with a word beginning with the Hebrew letter, He. So if you've got the Hebrew letters in your Bible, not all Bibles have them in, but if you've got there, the heading above this little section is the Hebrew letter, He. Is there the Hebrew letter H? Ha. So each verse begins with a word which has the letter He in Hebrew to begin. But you know, the words that are used there, the root words, are words which do not necessarily, and probably don't, begin with the letter He. The letter He is a little prefix put to the beginning of the word to express something. And what it is actually conveying is this letter He goes there when the person who is speaking wants to express some causative command, a command that will result in something being done. In other words, if you're praying to the Lord, you're saying, make it happen. And this is what's happening in each of these verses until we get to the last verse. It's a section, therefore, which is about the psalmist seeking the Lord to supply his needs. He wants God's word. He's aware of his own weaknesses. And now he's turning to the Lord and he's saying, Lord, in every of these situations, make it happen. Make it happen, Lord. This is how we come to this particular psalm. And each verse begins with that little instruction, that little causative thing. Make it to happen. Cause it to happen, Lord. You know, we can come in that way to the Lord. And we can pray. And we can tell the Lord. He wants us to tell him. We can tell the Lord, Lord, make it happen. We can tell the Lord that because he does want to make the things that he's promised happen in our lives. Yes. And we can pray in his will and according to his will, Lord, what you have promised, make it happen. Your word which you've given to me, Lord, help me to get to understand it and to obey it. And so these verses, if I divide it up into two sections, the first four verses I would entitle ungrammatically, Me and Your Word.
Me and Your Word, Lord.
At the heart of this Psalm 119, all the way through, it's God's Word. In all the ways it comes to us, commandments, instructions, and all the rest of it, His way, it's His Word.
Glory.
God has given His Word that we might know what He wants us to do. And when God tells us what he wants us to do, he will always be supplying the ability and the power yes. to do what he's called us to do. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. This is how he starts off. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And the root of this word, teach me, it comes from an original root which means to point or to shoot, applied to arrows.
Yes.
It came to signify pointing the finger. You know, we do the same thing, don't we? When we want to give instructions and directions in a sign form, we use an arrow. Turn right, or turn left. Or we can point if we're giving someone the instructions.
Yes.
And this is the idea of teaching here, that the psalmist wants divine direction.
Yes.
Which way shall I go? What shall I do? Instruct me, point me in the right direction, Lord. Teach me, this is the idea behind teach me here, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. You know, we, as we read the word of God, as we pray, as we get revelation from God, we get to understand God's ways. And when we come to his word, we get to understand the direction that God wants to take us in life, if we will follow his word. Lord, teach me the way of your statutes.
Yes.
Not just following rules, he wants to know the way of God's statutes. You get an understanding of what God has behind all these statutes and commands and his word that he's given us. It's direction for our lives. Point us in the right direction, Lord. And then the psalmist adds, and I shall keep it to the end. Oh, what a response. Lord, show me, teach me, point me, and I'll be obeying. I'll be following. No half measures here. I'll follow it to the end. Oh, have you got that desire to do what God says, to follow his word, to live as he says we should be living? We don't want to come to the word of God, as James says, and it's a mirror, and you look and you see what sort of person you are, and then you go away and you forget what sort of person you are. You forget all about it. No, we want God's word to be sown in our hearts and lives. And if we understand the Lord's way, then we have a key to understanding his word. If we know his ways, we get to understand his word. And we come to verse 34, the next verse. Still pleading for the Lord to make it happen, Lord. Give me understanding. Basically, the root of the word there is understanding. Yes. And the hey at the beginning of it is the give me. Make it happen, Lord.
Yes.
Give me understanding. Give me the ability to discern. Here's the idea behind this understanding. To discern, to distinguish between the various things that you're saying, Lord. To bring order into my mind. Not just blind obedience. I don't want to be doing things just because you've said do them. Like a robot.
Right.
I want to understand. I want to be able to discern what you're saying. And do it from a free heart and a willing heart.
Yes.
To be involved in what you've told me to do. Because I understand what you are calling me towards. It's not blind obedience. The Lord wants us to understand. Oh, give me understanding, he cries. That there might be order and acceptance. And the psalmist again adds, yea, and I shall observe it with my whole heart.
Yes.
Again, no half measures there. All of it. With my whole heart, I'm 100% for doing what you want me to do, Lord. Oh, how's it with us? How's it with us? You know, sometimes I think Christians, and I'm not saying that I'm any better than anybody else, but sometimes I think Christians have this sort of pick and choose idea. I'll follow what I like, I won't follow what I don't like. But the psalmist says, no, I'll do it with all my heart.
Yes.
All my heart. Hallelujah. Whatever you say, Lord. And verse 35. Make me to go. Again, the root idea there is go, to go. It's a word which means to tread, to walk. There's a pathway to be walked, to tread. And make me to go, Lord. Here it is again. Make it happen, Lord. Make it happen. Make me to tread and walk in the path of your commandments. You know, some of the other scriptures in the Bible, we find, for instance, in Psalm 25 and verse 5, the same word is translated, lead. Lead me in your truth and teach me. In Isaiah 48 and verse 17, I am the Lord your God which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that you should go. And the psalmist is praying for that make me to go. He's asking, Lord, lead me. Lead me. And then he adds, for in those commandments, therein do I delight.
Glory.
Oh, that's a far different picture from doing things because we've got to do them. Do you know Christians like that?
That's right.
Oh, I've got to do it. Don't particularly want to, but I've got to do it because the word of God's up. No, the psalm says, I delight in your commandments.
Yes.
I want to do that. I want to understand them and I want to do them. And the more we understand God's commandments and why he said that, the more we want to do what he wants us to do and called us to do. This is the mind which was in Christ Jesus. You familiar with those verses in Philippians chapter 2? He was committed to doing the will of the Father. And in Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 5, we start with verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, walked this way. This is the mind that he had. Paul, who's writing the Philippians, says, let that same mind, that same attitude, be in you. What was it? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. There was no cry, you shouldn't be treating me like that. Do you know who I am? No. He trod the pathway that the Father gave him to tread.
Glory.
And he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself.
Yes.
You would think that was humbling enough. But he humbled himself as a man and became obedient unto death, Not even that's not enough. Even the death of the cross, with all the shame and humiliation and the pain and suffering that that brought. Make me to go. Make me to tread. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments. I delight in them. In Hebrews chapter 10, there is a quotation of Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8. But in Hebrews chapter 10, it's applied to Jesus, a prophecy about Jesus. And this is what it says. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. This is Jesus speaking. It's a prophecy. I delight to do your will, O God. Yea, your law is within my heart. Your law is within my heart. And the psalmist is saying, now, Lord, I delight to do your will. Whatever it may bring, whatever it may cost, I delight to do your will. Make me to tread that pathway, Lord.
Yes.
Make it happen, Lord. We need his help. Because it's not a pathway we, naturally speaking, would want to tread.
That's right.
And then in verse 36. Incline my heart. Incline my heart. This word, incline my heart, it has a meaning of it, of stretch, of bending. Sometimes we realise that if we're a bit hard-hearted, we need that touch of the Lord to bend our hearts in the right direction. Bend my heart, he says. Incline my heart unto your testimonies.
Yes.
Sometimes Christians look at the word of God and look at what the Lord wants us to do and they incline away from it. And we need that help from God. Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies. And what is the add to it? I want to do, Lord, what you want me to do and not to covetousness. You see, covetousness is what the old I wants to do. The old me. It's coveting. I want that, I want that, I want that. But he says, Lord, I've got to turn my eyes away from that. Bend my heart in the other direction.
Yes.
Not the I wants and I wants and I wants. Bend my heart in the other direction. To do what you want me to do.
Yes.
To do what you want me to do. To do what you've called me to do. What you want, not what I want. So these four verses have brought to us the psalmist crying out to God, teach me, direct me, give me the ability to discern and to understand your commandments. Make me to walk and to tread that pathway that you've commanded. And bend my heart, that my heart may be a willing heart to do all that you've commanded me to do. Make it happen, Lord.
Glory.
And that, hey, that little word, that little prefix, that little letter, hey, in front of the various verbs is that cry, Lord, cause it to happen.
Yes.
Make it to happen. All that I'm asking you. This is a psalm about making things to happen in our lives. And you know, God wants us to call upon him to help us and to direct us and to guide us and to fill our hearts and our lives. And then we look at the next two verses, or three verses actually. In the next three verses, what he's saying is, Lord, I've asked you to make this happen, but now get me in the right attitude. Get me in the right position.
Yes.
I don't want to be pushed into things against my will. Get me in that right position to be in accord with you. Isn't that wonderful? That we can actually be attuned to what God wants.
Amen.
And in living in accord with what he wants. Not obeying unwillingly, but we've got to. But we love God's word. We love his ways. And we want to do what he wants to get me in that right position. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Turn away my eyes. The actual root of that word, turn away, is cross over.
Yes.
That's how it started off. Cross over. You know, you're going in one direction, you've got to cross over there and get back in the other direction. You're going the wrong way. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. You know, vanity we often associate in the modern use of the word with pride, don't we? Oh, you're so vain, you're so proud. But actually the word means in Hebrew and in Old English, it means worthlessness. It's worthlessness. It's empty. It's desolate. It's destructive. It's useless. Take my eyes away from what's useless. You know, all that the world offers is coming up to Christmas, so you know what kids are like. You know, adults are just the same. They're attracted by what looks really wonderful. But if it's of the world, it's worthless. It's useless. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Beholding and esteeming as something worth or value that which is valueless. You know, we're so attracted, aren't we? By the eyes of what the world has to offer. It began with Eve. The devil was tempting her. And what she said? Look at the fruit. It's good to the eye. Look, look, it looks good. Look, look. You know what it says in 1 John chapter 2? We've been through these verses again, but I'll remind you. It's the same problem that Eve had at the beginning, and Adam. It's the same problem we're faced with when it comes to temptation. Love not the world, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? They're vanity. They're worthless. They're useless. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, what is it? The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, what trouble the eyes have caused, and still cause. What you see is not long before it's what you want. Try it with the kids at Christmas. The old advertising fellas, they know what they're doing. When all those adverts come on the television, they put it, gotta have that, gotta have that, gotta have that. You see, it works for kids. And it's led us astray. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the eyes are feeding the flesh. You want that, you want that. Look at it, oh, it's lovely. But the psalmist adds, oh Lord, he's in the face of death, the temptation and death and the lust of the eye. He says, Lord, make me alive, or to use the old word that's here in the Authorised Version, quicken me in your way. Make me alive in your way. Make me be thrilled with what's in your way. Not the way of the world, but your way, Lord. Let's be able to say, I delight greatly in the Lord. Not our delight is in the things of the world, and we'll fit those boring things to church in when we can. But delight yourself in the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Lord, it says in the Psalms, he will grant you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
Praise God. When Paul was writing to the Romans in chapter 6 and verse 11, he said, likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, dead to what the world will try and tempt you with, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Quicken me, make me alive in your way, Lord. That root meaning of crossover really is. Go the other way. Go God's way. Out of death into life. Quicken me, make me alive in your way. And in verse 38, establish your word unto your servant who is devoted to your fear. Establish. It's a word which in its original form meant to lift up, to raise up, or to make it stand. Establish. Make your word stand unto your servant and in my life. It says, because I'm devoted to your fear. That word fear there in verse 38 is not the same as the word fear in verse 39. The two different Hebrew words. This word fear means reverence. Greatest respect. I'll do whatever you say, Lord. I'm devoted to your fear. And in reverence, we can worship and adore the Lord. He holds him in the greatest of respect. Then in verse 39, here's that word again, the same word again. Turn away. Turn away. Let's go the other way. We don't want to go that way. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, which I'm afraid of. Now what he's talking about here is not the reproach of others because of his belief and faith in God. You know, the Bible encourages us in that area, doesn't it? It says we've got to go forth in Hebrews to the Lord Jesus, to him, without the camp. He's been rejected. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He says, let's go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
Yes.
And we do as believers bear that reproach of the Lord. For even Christ, it says in Romans 15, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me. The reproach of the Lord, the reproach of God, it will fall upon you as believers. The reproach that the world has. But you know, it's not that reproach he's talking about. This is the reproach that he's talking about. He's talking about the reproach that we find in verses 21 and 22. Verse 21, this is in one of the previous sections, but in verse 21 of Psalm 119, it says, you have rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from your commandment. Those who are against God have received the reproach of God for their sin. In verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies.
Yes.
I'm not against you, Lord. No reproach to me. You see, the other sort of reproach the reproach that come against you because of the laws, he speaks about in verses 41 and 42. Let your mercies all come also unto me, O Lord, even your salvation according to your word. So shall I have wherewith to answer them that reproach me, for I trust your word.
Yes.
I've got an answer to the reproach of the world,
yes.
But I have no answer to your reproach if I'm a sinner. But Lord, I'm not. I'm yours.
Lord.
Saved by your... Lord, turn away my reproach which I fear. I fear. I'm afraid of. Your displeasure against me if I'm doing the wrong things. Thy judgments are good. I want to live in them. He's calling on the Lord at the beginning to make things happen in his life so that he can walk in God's word. And then he's asking, Lord, turn my eyes away from those things that are wrong that will lead me into reproach with you.
Yes.
I fear that reproach. And then in the last verse 14, he says, behold, look, Lord, behold, I have longed after your precepts. Make me alive. Quicken me. Make me alive in your righteousness. Isn't that a desire that we have? We want to be living in God's righteous ways, not in the old ways of the world. It's a sad commentary on modern evangelical Christianity that there's been a development in the gospel, if you like, or an alteration to the gospel, in that you can be saved and know the Lord and go to heaven, but you can still hold on to all the other things you've had. You can have all that and this as well. And God will prosper you in all those ways. Well, we haven't got that promise. Yeah, the Lord will supply every need. The Lord will bless you. But we can't choose the pathway that we tread. It's the Lord's pathway.
Yes.
What does it say? Take up the cross daily and follow me. Make me alive in your righteousness. And what the psalmist has bringing to us here is that we can call upon the Lord and he will supply every need and he will answer. In Jeremiah 33:3, that's the Old Testament telephone number, isn't it? Jeremiah 33:3. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, you know that verse? It says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not.
Yes.
Tremendous, isn't it? And in Isaiah 65, he actually says in verse 24, before you even call,
yes,
I will answer. What a wonderful God we serve.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Psalmist is calling on him, but he's already got the answers and he's living in them. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock, it shall be opened unto you. Praise the Lord. Amen.